tonight for the moving of your Holy Spirit. Lord, I'm going to ask you to do for which is us impossible as humans, and that is to pick us up and place us right back where we were 2 months ago in the Why series. It might even be longer than that. And Lord, I know because I cheated and I looked at my notes. In the Why series, we've been talking and looking at the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And now, Lord, we come to this topic tonight, and we pray that your Holy Spirit would be more than welcome here tonight. Heavenly Father, we've met you in worship. We've met you in gathering in the fellowship of the saints. Lord, we're meeting you now in prayer. And we pray that we'd meet you now in the study of your word. So, Father, we pray now that your Holy Spirit would give us the ears to hear. We ask it in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. 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 So here's the deal. I'm going to ask you to get out your notes. If you were here with us a long time ago now, it seems like forever, jumping right back into the Why series. The Why series is something that we have done over the years where we'll go through the book of the Bible on a Wednesday night. We'll finish that book. And anybody remember the book we finished before we went into the Why series? Isaiah, all three of you remember the book. We were studying the book of Isaiah, and I remember telling all of you, we're going to go through this book of Isaiah quickly. It's probably going to be about 66 weeks, because there's 66 chapters, and it turned out to be 4 years in the book of Isaiah, and many of you have earned degrees in the book of Isaiah, but we went out of Isaiah and into what we normally do, and that is a topic. And the topic that we went into was called the Why series. And if you take the time to go back and look, there's all of these different arguments regarding the Why series. For example, why is there a heaven? Why is there a hell? Why is there sin? Why is there gender confusion when the Bible speaks about these things? Why sex and sexuality? We went through all of these different things to equip you as a believer. And so now, looking at the continued work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, I'm going to ask you to take notes and to hang on to those. So first of all, by way of introduction to this, previously we were talking about prayer, the Holy Spirit in your life, and we talked about what it meant to pray in the Holy Spirit. Does anybody remember that? Tell you the truth. Nobody. Do you? Really? Praying in the Holy Spirit. We graduated to that point, and it was thrilling to learn. And we even shared. I think I got pretty personal with you to tell you how I pray. And even when teaching the Bible, it's a strange thing to say, but I said it, and it's true to any Bible teacher. They know what I'm talking about. But there's times when the Spirit of God is moving, where I'll be teaching you on a Sunday or Wednesday night or whatever, and I'm just going along. I can hear myself. I understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, but at the exact same time, I'm actually praying, and it's a sound or words that I don't even know what they are in my head. And you say, are you insane? And I know it sounds insane until you read 1 Corinthians chapter 14. It is a supernatural blessing that God gives to every believer to be able to pray in the Spirit. It is not the gift of tongues. That's limited to some people. But prayer in the Holy Spirit is given to all. It's up to us to go get alone and to pray accordingly. Now, tonight we're going to be looking at walking in the Spirit. What does it mean to walk in the Spirit as a believer? So in Romans chapter 8, by way of foundation, Romans 8, verses 26 to 27. Follow along with me on this. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Holy Spirit also helps our weaknesses. Say amen to that. Isn't that awesome? The Bible says the Holy Spirit helps you where you're weak. Woo! I need that. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. That is so true. How many times have you gone to prayer and you kind of hit a block wall? You've got tons of stuff to complain about, but when you go to prayer, you stop. I can't think of anything right now. Well, pretend you're complaining and you'll remember everything. Very interesting, isn't it? That's a little hint to you that prayer is a spiritual work. It's not native to the human heart. So we don't know how we ought to pray, but the Holy Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or articulated. In other words, the Holy Spirit, strange thing, isn't it? The Holy Spirit in you, the believer, remember we learned on Sunday, the Holy Spirit dwells in the believer, that when the Spirit of God speaks to the Father for you, the origin is the Spirit of God dwelling inside the believer. Speaking to God, the Father, for what? On my behalf. Half. Why? Intercession. What does that mean? The Holy Spirit is talking to God the Father in the most perfect way for my life. That's the word intercession. Intercessory prayer. We've all heard about it. But have you ever thought for a moment that the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us? Remarkable. How can we lose? How can we fret? How can we be off guard when such a thing is happening? Verse 27, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Holy Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That is power. Christian, tonight I want you to focus on the fact that as we walk in the Spirit, it is all based upon the fact that the Spirit of God knows all of our weaknesses, and he knows how to strengthen us as he speaks to the Father for your benefit. We walk in the Spirit because the Spirit of God is praying on our behalf. Remarkable thing. God the Holy Spirit speaking to God the Father. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in a tongue or an unknown language, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. That's what I said a moment ago. The human mind doesn't get what the heart and the spirit is crying out in prayer regarding this type of relationship. Verse 15. What is the conclusion then, says Paul the Apostle? I will pray with the spirit. Notice it's lowercase s. I will pray with my human spirit, the born again me. I don't understand what's being said, but I'll pray in the spirit. By the way, that's alone. Y'all, do you remember that? You don't do that publicly. It doesn't need an interpretation. It's alone. That's very important. And I will also pray with understanding. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. Very remarkable. So mark this down. Prayer is the only operational mode. Please mark this. Prayer is the only operational mode for our spiritual life. As a Christian, prayer is my operational setting, our mode. As a believer, we are to be a people, listen, that are rigged, set, programmed to be a people of prayer. Now, the first thing I want to say about that is you and I have been conditioned, I think, by Satan to get us not to pray. That prayer, even though it is work, it is something that we always feel inadequate doing. We're always distracted. You know this is true. Go to prayer. And if you go to prayer, you're going to remember things that you don't even care about. If you decide to pray, you don't even have a pot roast in the oven, but you're going to swear you do. You haven't changed your oil in your car for years. But the moment you go to prayer, Satan will say, don't you have to change your oil now? Very strange. Our mode of living as a believer, the Holy Spirit will drive you in this area of operational prayer, which means we live, breathe, and move in prayer. You don't have to go to your knees. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to lift your hands. You move in that mode. Please say amen. You got that? We move in that mode. We are just a people of prayer. And don't ever forget the picture of what I'm going to just simply say to you. Are you breathing? I was going to say, take a deep breath in and blow out real hard, but let's pretend we're taking this huge deep breath and we let it all out and you say, well, what's the big deal? I'm breathing. And I want you to remember, as a believer, that's how prayer is for us. You just like, you might be mowing the lawn, you might be driving the car, you might be working out a problem, and it's that attitude of life, it's that mode where it's Lord, you know what? Help me get this. I don't know. I can't get this answer. Or Lord, you know, as I'm mowing the lawn right now and I'm not, you gotta help me with my job. Just an attitude mode of prayer will walk us over to living in the Spirit. Number two, the Bible encourages us that in Jude chapter 1, verse 20, he says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So number two, prayer is the only source of communication, and I like to put it this way, to high command. So what do you mean? High command. The command center, heaven, where God is. I'm down here. I need help. I'm in a battle. We're all in a battle. God is enthroned in heaven. The Bible over and over again says to us, God's enthroned in heaven above. Listen, the source of all that we need for communication is this link of prayer. God looked down from heaven. We cry out and pray. Peter's in a storm and the waves are raging, and the shortest prayer recorded in the Bible. By the way, the Bible says that when you pray, keep your words few and short before God. Isn't that great? You ever been to a prayer meeting and somebody doesn't pray at home ever? And they go to a prayer meeting and then they pray forever, hogging the prayer meeting? What is that? When somebody prays long at a prayer meeting, it means they don't pray at home. Boom! Pray short prayers. And Peter is walking on water, remember? And he gets his eyes off the Lord and he starts to sink and he says, "Lord, help!" Greatest prayer. Lord, help! Churches in California are saying tonight, "Lord, help!" And he hears. Operational mode, source of communication to high command. God looks down from heaven. The Bible tells us in John 15, verse 7, "If you abide in me and my words," the Bible, "abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. For by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples." What an awesome, awesome truth. God's word. That is foundational to where we're heading tonight. Number three, prayer is the only spiritual adhesive that binds to us the weaponry of God. We love to talk about the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We all love that stuff. But when you read the book of Ephesians, where the battle gear is listed for the believer, we often forget that right down around verse 18, it's all put on and kept on by prayer. It's all put on and kept by prayer. We love swinging a sword around. Woo! Sword of the Spirit. Look at that thing. If you're not a praying people, you'll cut yourself with it. You'll mess up. You bind it together in prayer. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." That's 6:10. But if you drop down to Ephesians 6:18, it says that we're to be praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That is the Holy Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance, supplication for all the saints. What a tremendous truth that is. So listen, I'm going to read you a big chunk of scripture, and it's going to be our points for tonight. Are you ready for this? You might want to mark it down or turn to the book of Daniel chapter 6, because not only is it our study tonight, it just so happens that it's our life tonight. It's the life that we're living, Daniel 6. Daniel 6. You can close your Bible. If you don't know where that is, close your Bible. You can close your Bible. And then if you were to open your Bible right in the middle, then just move a little bit to the right of the middle. And you're going to come to Daniel. Daniel 6, verse 1. While you're turning, I'll be reading. "And so it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps." Satraps were a form of governors. Well, you know what? For our argument, they're like lieutenant governors. How's that? That's a good word. "To be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors," wow, "of whom Daniel was one, that the lieutenant governors might give an account to them, so that the king would suffer no loss." In other words, run the empire. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and lieutenant governors because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Wow. So no doubt jealousy is born in the hearts of the others. Watch what happens. So the governors and the lieutenant governors sought to find some charge to bring against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any charge against this Daniel unless we find it against him concerning the law of his God." So these governors and lieutenant governors thronged before the king and said thus to him, "King Darius, live forever." You know, all that stuff. "You're awesome, king. You're the best in the whole world. We love you." All the governors of the kingdom, the administrators, the lieutenant governors, the counselors, the advisors have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing so that it cannot be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Verse 9. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Verse 10. Now remember, Daniel is no doubt hearing all of this. Now, Daniel knew that the writing was signed. He went home, and he, in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days, since he was a kid. Daniel hears the decree. It's against the law to pray now. Daniel hears it. He goes home. 3 times a day since he was a kid, opens up the windows, prays to Yahweh, the God of the Bible. Remarkable. Awesome. Daniel, a political leader representing God, a lover of God, in a high place, one breath away from running the entire realm of the Persian, Medo-Persian Empire, goes home to pray, violates a capital law, capital offense. You'll die if you break it. Daniel must have decided it's better to obey God at that moment than man. And so the scriptures tell us that since he was a kid, verse 11, having prayed, he's praying 3 times a day. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. In other words, they were peeping through his window, no doubt, and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree and said, "Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" And the king answered and said, "The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter." So they answered and said, said before the king, "That Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah," so that Daniel the Jew, "does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes petition 3 times a day. And the king, when he heard these words," watch this, "was greatly distressed within himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him." The king loved Daniel. Then these men approached the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and Persians that no decree or statute which the king establishes may be changed." Don't you not like these guys? What a bunch of little rats. Right? Verse 16. So the king gave the command, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spoke, saying to Daniel, "Your God, whom you serve continually, will deliver you." Who said that, church? The king, a pagan king. That's how awesome Daniel's witness was. Daniel's witness was so awesome that the unbelieving pagan king was convinced that your God will protect you. He saw the character of life in the man, and so he concluded that his God is great. Christian, you and I walking in the Spirit of God, the world around us needs to see the power of God in our lives. But it cannot happen unless we are in that mode of prayer, the source is from God, and that what you and I are doing in our lives is that we're living a real Christian life of witness and power. And Daniel is a perfect example for our day and age. We love the law. The Bible tells us to love the law. But when there's unjust laws, we don't hate anybody and we don't want to endanger anybody. But when something is against the law of God, we've got to mitigate that. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. It's not defiance. There's a God in heaven who's issued a decree. Oh, but man has issued his. Yes, and listen, that is true and that is good until that decree of man, no pun intended, you know the word Trump, where did that come from anyway? It was even before Donald Trump. Trump. You know what the word Trump means? The laws of man stand until God trumps those laws. And God reserves that power. He reserves that. And Daniel's practicing that. And even the king is blown away by that and blessed by it. It's amazing. Verse 17, then a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his signet ring and with the signets of his lords, and the purpose concerning Daniel might not be changed. Now the king went to his place and spent the night fasting. Wow. And no musicians were brought before him. Also, his sleep went from him. Then the king arose early in the morning. Could you imagine? And no doubt makes haste. He runs down there to the den of the lions. And when he came to the den, he cried out with a lamenting voice to Daniel. The king spoke, saying, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually been able to deliver you from the lions? Then Daniel said to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions so that they did not hurt me because I was found innocent before him. And also, O king, I have done no wrong before you. And you could bet that king went, and I know that, and I'm going to go have a meeting right now with my staff. And that's exactly what he's going to do. God came through. In the impossible moment, Daniel was condemned, but God in righteousness kept him. We need to remember that today. When we walk in the Spirit, it means that we're living a life that is being led by God. Our responsibility is simply to keep that communication link before the Lord. Our good friend Marty Goetz sings that beautiful psalm out of Psalm 46. And he sings in there, what is the Lord want of me, and it is simply this, to keep my spirit clean. What a beautiful word that is. It's pretty hard to sin against God when you're talking to him on an ongoing basis. If a thought comes to your mind, by the way, everyone has thoughts in their minds. Everyone does. Isn't it weird? No, I mean, nobody wants to hear what I'm about to say. Except for some honest people. You can be having the most amazing moment with God, and the most filthy thought will pop into your head. Don't look at me like that. You know it's true, and what do you do with it? Oh, God, you're amazing. No. God, you're amazing. Oh, Lord! Get that out, get that. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Right? Sometimes that's all I can say. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And listen, and it's a war, but that's walking in the Spirit. When you walk in the Spirit, there's going to be that war. There's going to be that battle. That's a good thing. Daniel was in the midst of a battle. God came through. I lost my place. Where was it? Anybody remember? Verse 23, now the king was exceedingly glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no injury whatever was found on him because he believed in his God. And the king gave this command or the command and they brought those men who had accused Daniel and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, ouch. That's social justice again, right there. And watch this. And the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Before they hit the ground, they were already crushed by the lions. Now, women don't like this story, but guys love this. It's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. And so they were crushed before they were broken up. Verse 25, then Darius wrote to all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Oh, we need to have that kind of thing done today. For he is the living God and steadfast forever. His kingdom is one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth, who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. Verse 28, so this Daniel prospered in the reign, or under the reign, during that time of the kingdom under Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Multiple leaders, Daniel prospered. Number one, write this down. Having prayed, you and I walk in the Spirit and we walk in clarity. Will you write that down? We walk in clarity, not confusion. Was Daniel ever once confused? Not once. In fact, he's got some friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Remember them? No, you don't. Good. It's Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. That's their Babylonian names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are their Hebrew names. Okay? And those guys, remember, Daniel was somewhere. He's nowhere around. He's somewhere gone. We don't know where. But during that time, the three were convicted and thrown into the fiery furnace. Remember that? And I love what they say before they go in. King, we can't bow. We can't bow. We're going to die for our faith. Either our God's going to protect us or we're going to die. But we can't bow. And they throw them into the fiery furnace, and the king looks in there and says, I thought we threw three guys in. We did. Well, why is there four in there? And he looks again. Can you imagine? He looks. And then the king goes, the fourth guy in there looks like an angel from heaven or something. And they get pulled out of the fire, or they walk out of the fire. They don't even smell like smoke. God, listen. The attitude, though, was this. We're walking with God, the three of us. If we burn, we burn. If we get rescued, we get rescued. When you have that kind of assurance in the God that has made you the promises, you will have perfect clarity in the midst of confusion. You will have clarity. What about this? What about that? Rumors, this, voices, everybody's trying to tell you how to live your life or whatever. And you've walked with God. You heard God speak from his word. And you have got clarity. Daniel had clarity. You don't see Daniel going, not the lions! Anything but that. Nope. My God's able. Clarity. When we feed upon God's word, there's clarity. There's no doubt about it. Maybe some of you are new to the Bible. I know that, my goodness, we had so many people last Sunday make a decision for Christ. They're new to the Bible. And they're going to be finding out what you have found out. God keeps his word. But you can have any kind of a day and get into the word of God and start reading it. And something happens within minutes. I mean this with all seriousness. I'm not being crass or I'm not being flippant in any way. But picking up the Bible and reading it works faster than any pill. And I'm not saying that to be cruel or to be abusive. We're a culture that we've learned to get some sort of, renew our mind by external things that only cover. And I people are going to write me letters. They always do when I make comments like this. And I don't mean any harm by that. Your doctor may need you. That may be a need that you have to have, for whatever that may be. My point is this. You can be troubled in soul, and if you would pick up your Bible before you walk to the kitchen to get the pill, try this. Pick up the Bible, start reading the Psalms before you get to the kitchen or to the cabinet. Read it. Grab a chapter and read it before you take the pill. Watch what happens. This is not a joke. This thing is alive, and it is real, and it will give you clarity, and in that, you'll be walking in the Spirit. How do we walk in the Spirit of God today? With the Word of God wide open, ingesting it, and we become a walking display of the will of God like Daniel was. Look, the Bible says these great saints of old were people just like us. Isn't that encouraging? Elijah, the great, incredible prophet. The Bible says we have exactly the same issues that Elijah had. See, we don't think about that. And, you know, art doesn't help. You go to a museum and you always see the apostles. They're all walking like this. I don't know, what's with this? They're walking like this. And they've got a halo. Have you noticed when you go see Rembrandt and all of these guys that painted the saints? Who is this? It says Peter, James, and John. And they're walking and there's this oil painting. And they all go in like this. And they all have a glow over their head. And you look at that and you go, I'm not like that. You're not, listen, they were not like that. What we eat, Bible, it's going to come out. Okay? Listen, whatever it is, and I got to tell you, what color is a flamingo? What? It's any color but pink. Listen. Flamingos are not pink. So I just went to the zoo. I saw, well, when the zoos were open. No, listen. Flamingos are white or gray. They don't turn pink or orange until they eat a certain type of brine or its type of algae or shrimp that's in their diet. It's a reaction. What's the word? Not carrot. Doesn't matter. Starts with a C. That word. Listen. The flamingo's white or gray. He starts eating this food, and there's a reaction in his metabolism, and he starts to turn pink from his diet. It's not the color he naturally possesses. You say, what's your point to this? Eat Bible. Eat Bible, take on Bible. Imagine that. Eat it, take it on. Walk in the Spirit. How do you do that? Listen, stop making it hard. Eat Bible. You'll turn colors. You could be pink. You could be blue. It depends on your diet. And you know, there's almost exact truth to that. There's some people, all they read about, you know, is this about the Bible. Now, look, I love Bible prophecy. That's what I'm kind of known for, studying eschatology and teaching it. But here's the deal. If that's all you teach on, people become kind of goofy. If that's all you teach on, everything that comes out of your mouth is, what is that? That's the sign of the end. That dog just tripped over that ball. That's the sign of the end. That's the end times. You know what I'm saying? Lightning. That's the end of the world. Look, the end is near, but that's not how we're supposed to live. Eat a full, balanced diet of the Bible. Okay? You'll have clarity. Clarity. It happens every time. Very, very clear. The Bible's very keen on that. Clarity. It's available to all of us. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, if anyone lacks wisdom, boy, doesn't wisdom bring clarity? You know, you can be a genius. Seriously. You can be so book smart. Man, I have a picture in my head. It's so late. I don't want to. I knew a guy that was so smart. He was actually my family. I wish I had his smarts, but he didn't have wisdom. You know what the guy was kind of famous for? Walking through sliding glass windows. He was genius. You know, he's like this. Boom! He would do the silliest things. What's wrong with you? I didn't see it. I didn't know. You can be an Albert Einstein. If you don't have wisdom, you just need to stay home. You're gonna hurt someone. Knowledge is not wisdom. Wisdom is the application of knowledge. Listen, one's great in a class, the other one makes the world happen. Wisdom. The Bible's clear. If you lack wisdom, the Bible says, James 1:5, ask God, who gives to all liberally without reproach, and listen, it will be given to him, but let him ask in faith. Clarity. What God has said, God's going to do. With no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways, an unwise man. You said, Jack, that kind of sounds like my life. It doesn't have to be. Ask God for wisdom, and you'll get clarity. Number two, walking in the Spirit means that we walk in confidence, not in defeat. This is important to us right now. Daniel walked in confidence. There's no way in the book of Daniel does Daniel ever say, man, you know what? I've had enough of this stuff. I'm a Jew. I'm a long way from home. These Medes and Persians drive me nuts. I'm walking home. None of that. His confidence was in God. By the way, so was Joseph's, wasn't it? Don't we love reading these incredible accounts of the Bible? I refuse to call them stories. They're not Bible stories. They're Bible events. We love all those things. Even, listen, even the Bible event of David cutting Goliath's head off. That's awesome. We love to tell our kids those events. The thing is this, we love reading about them. We're just not too keen on having them happen in our lives. And, you know, listen, I hope that you're like me. You want to reverse that. In this day and age, I mean, come on, time's up. This world's gone nuts if you haven't been looking, if you haven't been watching. I think God is calling us up. God is saying, come on, step up. And you know what? Listen, it's amazing because, again, we love those events and we see God move, and then we wonder why it's not happening in our lives. No, no, no. Listen, now this is the hour. A lot of debate, church, open church, closed church, what kind of church, I don't know, whatever. You know what? Listen, to whatever measure your faith is, go for it. If it's to shut the door in the closet and to pray, go for it. If it's to stand on a mountaintop and preach Christ, go for it. But this is our fleeting moment. Jesus said that, listen, night is coming when no man will be able to do the work. Thus, I do the work of God now while it is light, Jesus said. It's time. This is our glorious moment for the church in the 21st century. How can you say that? Everything is just so depressing and everything is just so, it's so combative, and everything great comes out of times just like this. It's the history of the Bible, and we can be confident in God. Never was Daniel defeated. Isaiah 54, verse 17. Isaiah 54, 17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Boom. Wow. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. What a great passage. I'll paraphrase this for time's sake. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, tells us that we war as believers, but never in the flesh. We war in the spirit realm. We can be confident because if you've read the Bible all the way through, or if you've cheated, like when I got saved, I cheated. I read the first book of the Bible I read was the book of Revelation because I wanted to see how it ended. I always read the end of the book and then I go back to the front of the book. And it was great benefit because I knew how it ended. So even in the dark hours of reading Leviticus and some, you know, it's like, what? Oh, I don't know. But I read the back of the book. I know how we end. It works great. Just keep reading. You can be confident in the Lord and the fact that we're in a spiritual battle. You say, but Jack, I'm a physical person. Yes, you are. But as a born-again believer, you are warring and living a spiritual life and you're walking in the Spirit. In decision-making, how you'll spend your money, your time. Hey, let's forget about that stuff. Let's just leave that alone. How you will spend your mental or emotional energy now. Oh man, I was doing fine until I turned CNN on. Why did you do that? Why did you listen to Satan and turn it on? I was having a great day, and then I turned on, you name it now, it doesn't matter. There's only, Fox News is gone. CNN's gone. NBC never showed up. They were gone. You know what? There's only one news out there so far, and it's OAN. You ever watch OAN news? It's the only one that's left. It's the only one that's left. But even then, it's like, Turn on the radio. Constant bad news. Whew. You know what? It completely sucks the confidence out of your life that God is in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Amen. He's working in you. And listen, that stuff gets inside of you. And it's like a cancer to the spirit. You don't need that. Number three, we walk in resilience. I love that word, resilience. Not in weakness, resilience. The word resilience means the act of coming back or springing back into action, the ability to recover or rebound and to keep coming back, resilience. I wrote myself a note. Do you remember that crazy clown we all wanted to punch? Remember that clown growing up that had sand in the bottom of it? It's plastic. And it was right there, and he had this really dumb look on his face. And it's like that clown was making fun of you. He's like, you know, when you're like 8 years old, it's like, I don't like that clown. And remember that? It's a punching clown. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And you would punch it, and you couldn't. It's like Lay's potato chips, man. You can't eat one of those things. Do you remember how you'd punch that clown? And he'd go down and come right back up. So what did you do? You punched him again. You kept punching him until you stick a pencil in him. And then it's like, yes! What happened? I beat the clown. Resilience. Listen, the enemy comes in like a flood. God raises up a standard against the enemy. We walk in the Spirit. Everything that's going on around us, we are commanded in Scripture to be resilient. You say, Jack, I don't have that kind of power. Flash, none of us do. Not a single one of us. But God does. That's why the Scripture says, walk in the Spirit, and we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the lust of the flesh are things like panic, worry, anxiety, fretting, worrisome. The last 4 or 5 months now, however long it's been, has zapped so many people of their strength in the Lord. And think about it. When you talk about biblical events, it was nothing compared to biblical events. And it's nothing compared to what's coming. But Paul said, none of these things move me. How do you know this? Because God has been working in your life. And you know what? Years ago, Pastor Chuck Smith christened our old sanctuary building. It was in the warehouse down the street. And when he came, Pastor Chuck's message, I remember sitting with him, worship is going on, and I said, Pastor, because we wanted to get a title from him so we could get the tape machine going, you know. And Pastor Chuck, do you have a title for tonight? Nope. So we're like, Pastor Chuck, do you have a verse for tonight? I can tell the, oh. Then he steps up there, and he went. In 1 hour, he went through the entire book of 1 John, never once opened it up, quoted it verse by verse by verse, and his message was entitled, Keep Yourself Under the Spout, Where the Glory Comes Out. And it was all about keeping yourself before the Lord. And you know what? You can phrase it this way. It's walking in the Spirit of God. I am going to choose today, instead of walking in what I want to do, I'm going to do what God says to do. And there is no demon in hell that can stop that. They'll try, but greater is he that is in you, the Scripture says, than he that is in the world. And number four, we walk in vision, not in darkness. When we walk in the Spirit, you better get a pen and a paper. You better get ready to write stuff down. Friends, I am not, listen, family of God, listen. When you walk with God, in the Spirit, I am convinced of this. God is constantly talking. Amen. I mean it. I'm not kidding. He said, I don't think he talks. You better find out why. Because I've noticed when I sit still, here's when he's not talking to me. When I'm busy. Isn't that what he said? Martha, Martha, didn't Jesus say that? Remember Mary? She's sitting at his feet. And you, Martha's cooking in the back, it says she's cooking. And Jesus is talking. And Mary's sitting there just listening to every word. She's taking notes. And you can hear the pots and pans in the back. And they're getting louder because Martha's getting really upset. Right? And the Bible says she comes out. Can you imagine? God, hello. God is sitting in your living room in skin. And Martha, you could see she got flour on her face. She's got an apron. She's got all kinds. And she comes walking in. She goes, Jesus, tell Mary to come and help me. Can you imagine saying that to God? We do it all the time. We do. And Jesus says, Martha, Martha. He had to say it twice. Martha, Martha. Mary has chosen the better thing to do. Now, is that true? Well, it all depends. If you want to eat, who needs a Mary? Right? If you're hungry, give me a Martha. Why? Because my flesh wants to eat. I'm hungry. But if I live for that, is the point, I'm going to starve to death spiritually. But if I want to draw close to Jesus, then give me a heart like Mary. You will grow spiritually to the level of your investment in the Lord. It's just the way that it is. And he will reveal to you vision. Vision. Spiritual ideas. Insight. Things that are not humanly discernible. Ministry ideas. Direction that is not of this world. That's what he does. It's amazing. On the flip side, darkness always is synonymous with ignorance and uncertainty. You know, there's things out there called enhanced vision. There's things out there called night vision. There's things out there called digital vision. There's strange things out there like visual optics imaging, where there's such vision that is available through technology today. Listen, I'm going to go somewhere with this and then we got to land. Here's the thing. There's technologies out there that there are programs so brilliant that it will take an image that to you, it's just a blur on the horizon. And the technology that we have will take that image and it will go through an algorithm or a program and it will visually, optically image this thing, if it's a tank or another person or a giraffe, doesn't matter. And it will make it for us to observe or study in HD. And not only that, you can turn it around and spin it around like a CAD system would move something around. I remember talking to a United States Air Force intelligence officer in Stuttgart, Germany. We were preaching Christ on the streets of Stuttgart, just down the street from the Mercedes-Benz, Bosch electrical company for autos, for Porsche. And we're preaching Jesus, and this guy comes up, and he's listening. And after we were done, he comes over to me, and he goes, and I won't say his name. He's in the works for the Pentagon now. He said, what's your name? And I go, what's your name? And I go, what are you doing here? He goes, I'm in the U.S. Army. I go, what do you do here, though, in Germany? And he goes, well, I live here and I work here. He said, but we spy on Russia 24/7. Now, how do you do that? And he goes, oh, we listen and we watch. Well, how do you do that? Satellites. doing this and that and just stuff. It turned out, listen to this, the technology. He said, we can listen from space to two guys talking next to a train track with a train going by. I go, what? And he said, no, everything has its frequency. So our satellite in space is listening to and watch, it watches sound waves. And the computer removes all the mechanical sounds. So it hears organic sounds only. He goes, we can be sitting in Stuttgart, eating a donut, drinking a cup of coffee, listening through a satellite what somebody's talking about out in front of Red Square in Moscow, Russia. And I just said, that's fascinating. He goes, we have the same thing optically. We don't have to see anything anymore. The satellite will see it, and it will digitize it to the point that it's like you're talking to the person right in front of you. By the way, it's that technology. It's kind of gotten out of hand right now. Is the technology that the CIA used to use regarding deepfake. Are you familiar with deepfake? Yeah? Wow, that's spooky stuff. Now it's gotten into civilian hands, and it's quite terrifying. That's CIA stuff. See, what's your point? The point is this. We have so much vision today, but nobody sees a thing. You ever driven north on the I-15 freeway? And for an hour, the sky is glowing in the middle of the night before you ever even figure out that you're getting 50 miles away from Las Vegas. A lot of light! But no vision. You don't want to be that kind of a Christian. You can know the Bible. A lot of light! But you have no vision. Because you know it knowledgeably in the head, but it's not working in the heart. How does it work in the heart? When you walk in the Spirit. We need to remember that. We need to be careful about that. There's a spiritual vision, the Bible tells us, and here's where we end. This is such an encouragement. In fact, can you guys stand and we'll read this verse as we're ending. It's in 1 Corinthians 2:9, and it's sometimes, and I confess, I for years overlooked this verse, these two verses. So let's look to the screens on this. 1 Corinthians 2:9. I'm going to talk about vision. Look at this. We're guilty, church. We're guilty of reading verse 9 and never reading verse 10. We've often said, oh man, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. We stop right there. Oh, what's heaven going to be like? We don't know. Eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. It's not entered into the minds of men. We can't even guess. Can't even imagine. Until you read verse 10. What does verse 10 say? But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. I can't see. Walk in the Spirit, then you'll see. How are we going to get through this? Well, I'm going to get through it fine. You need to walk in the Spirit. Amen. Well, what if we get shot? What if we get sick? What if we get old and die of old age? It doesn't matter. Our eyes are set on heaven. God's promises. We can't naturally figure out anything. You think about heaven, and listen, without meditating on verse 10, it's all white. Heaven's got white ceilings, white walls, white carpet, white clouds, white robes. It's white. Not according to the Bible. But God has revealed, verse 10, them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The church is a living, breathing family. Rooted in the Spirit of God. And it is so evident. Is it not evident to you that the church is not of this world? Have you noticed we don't fit in anywhere? Have you noticed that there's no room for us anymore? Please, please, walk in the Spirit and sense the nearness of God. There's a reason. Don't get anxious. Step back, take a deep breath and realize, wait a minute. What did I want here? A red carpet to people to pat me on the back. Did I want heaven on earth? I want heaven now. And I don't want to die and I don't want to feel anything. I want heaven California style. Right? That's not, listen, that's not Bible style. My dear friend, if today you don't feel at home here, then welcome to the family of God, because the church doesn't belong here. And the world would be just fine if we would just get out of here. And we agree with them. Amen. Lord, come. Father, we praise you. Now, church, listen, we praise you, Lord, and we love you, and we thank you, God, for your word. Without it, wow. Well, without it, we'd be on the bottle. I mean, seriously, without it, we'd be on the coke. Without it, we'd be on the road. We'd be running. We would be on drugs. We would be wiped out without you. Lord, there are many people that are bound in those things right now. We pray that you'd set them free by the power of the gospel of Jesus, that he died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. It's Jesus. There's a reason why that name is the most famous curse word in the world. It's Jesus. And there's a reason why it's the most praised name in the world. So, Father, we pray that you'd strengthen us in these days. And here's the amazing thing. I can hear that, as it were, the echo of God announcing to us, you walk in the Spirit. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's given us his Bible. He has certainly given us an amazing biblical event period of time to live in. And he turns right to us today and says to us, you walk in the Spirit now. So, Lord, fill us and baptize us with your Holy Spirit, that we might walk in you. In Jesus' name. Now, church, listen, we have a homework assignment for all of us. Because of the times and the age in which we're in right now and the precarious situation that the church has been placed in California, we must be dependent upon prayer. I am asking, starting tonight, that's for us here and those watching, streaming right now, wherever you may be in the world, I'm asking for all of us to start tonight to start praying an extra amount regarding God's will and God's victory and God's power in the church in California. We're going to start tonight and we're going to pray 21 days like Daniel did. And that brings us out to August 4th. That pray every day, just set it aside. Dear God in heaven, we pray that you would move in California, that you would heal the land, and that you would touch the churches, and that you would change our government in California. By whatever means you see fit, if it's the wonderful salvation or if it's the replacement, that's God's business. But listen, we must ask him to intervene. 21 days starting tonight, we'll pray every day until August 4th that the Lord moves in California, and I'm expecting God to do something that we've never seen before. God bless you.